I need a roll call, please.
One.
Tony.
Gary.
Mark.
And Kate, pledge of allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, now we have the agenda here, approval of the agenda, and I want to make a couple of changes. I'm going to move the gambling discussion up to new business right after Mr. Fiedler here. So that'll, I think that's the only...
You had a couple additions to the end of the meeting?
Oh, and also, and I'll have, at the end of the meeting, I'll have a 50 Lake State update and an announcement about the city office will be closed on Juneteenth holiday. So, okay, then...
I would need a motion for that, please.
So then we need a motion and a...
I make a motion that we accept the consent agenda with the changes and additions as the mayor stated.
Sorry. Does that include the consent agenda, which is pages...
No.
Okay.
It was just misworded. Yeah, this is approval of the agenda.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Yes.
So I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. I guess we move to open forum. If anybody's got anything to say to start with, we got Lori.
I have a statement I want to read, being that my name was the only one put out on social media. I am Lori Crawford. I am a wife, a mother, a grandmother. I work full-time remotely. I am a citizen of 50 Lakes, a member of the fire department and the Fire Relief Association, and I am the gambling manager. In July of 24th, I was encouraged by the city clerk and a member of the city council and fire department to take on gambling manager position, as things were in disarray and in need of serious help. In order to take on this role, I needed to join the fire department. I met with the executive review board on July 18th for review and discussion and was officially approved on August 7th by the city council. I was welcomed to the fire department on August 14th at my first fire and rescue meeting. On August 18th, I started North Point emergency training, attended initial EMR course training in September, and became EMR certified in October of 24th. During this time, the gambling operations had an emergency gambling manager put in place and was dealing with a major compliance review by the Minnesota Gambling Control Board. Along with Andy Hemphill, president of the Relief Association, and Tom Stover, member and emergency gambling manager at the time, we spent many hours prepping for the compliance meeting, which took place on September 16th in front of the Gambling Control Board in Roseville, taking the day off from my full-time job. In October, I took 2 days off of work to attend the Gambling Manager Seminar in Roseville on the 9th and 10th and passed the Gambling Manager test. I started training with CG Made Easy Support, which is the system used for gambling operations, to learn all entries, the POS system, the payroll system, monthly tax filing information, etc., all while working my full-time job and trying hard not to let this interfere. I scheduled training calls during my lunches and after 5 p.m. to avoid interference. I spent all weekend on October 19th and 20th learning how to finalize everything in the system to file gambling taxes that are due monthly on the 20th. While going through all of these things with the gambling operations, there was also a gambling state audit along with annual audit taxes with the CPA firm going on that Andy, Tom, and I worked on tirelessly. On December 1st, 2024, I was officially licensed as a gambling manager by the Minnesota Gambling Control Board. Once we got through all of the things that were going on with the gambling operations, the training I needed to move forward, and understanding everything that came with this position that I didn't know existed, I started cleaning up the mess in the system from the previous year with the help of our members as needed. We had fines, audits, and taxes to pay while keeping up with monthly gambling expenses and keeping our star rating intact with donations going out to the community. This all took time and many discussions on how we can get back to a healthy state and our star rating back to a 5. At the June 2025 City Council meeting, I asked for a temporary rent reduction from the city bar, as noted in the minutes, which would allow for us to have more funds to donate out to our community and the city, or to our community and the city. This was tabled for July and never made it to the agenda. At the September 2025 City Council meeting, Mark Bradley, fire member and council member, asked again for a rent reduction as noted in the minutes, and it was left as more information needed. Nothing came about. At the March 2026 council meeting, I asked again for a rent reduction and requested discussion of the gambling lease as noted in the minutes, reminding the council that reducing our expenses like rent helps create additional opportunities for donations to the city and our community. The mayor noted amounts the city contributes to the relief pension fund. This has nothing to do with gambling. Gambling funds do not go to the Relief Association, and the city contributions to the pension fund are a part of the city's responsibility whether the association has gambling operations or not. Councilmember Tony Buchheit suggested sending out letters requesting donations. Again, we are talking about the gambling operations, which is separate from the Relief Association account. Any requested donations would go into the Relief Association general account and cannot, by law, go into the gambling account. The mayor requested reviewing the financials of the charitable gambling operations and identifying ways to increase profitability. We put together a four-year comparison and met as a small group for discussions. This clearly showed meat raffles and bingo are not money makers and are events to bring people to the bar. Right away, the clerk and the mayor attacked the amount spent on payroll. Yes, we have paid employees that run the meat raffles, races, and bingo. This is how it was when I came on and has been for quite a while. It was brought up that we should not be using paid employees and should be getting volunteers like other organizations that we continually get compared to. It was told to the clerk and the mayor that due to the difficulty of maintaining volunteers in the past, paid employees are used for these events. The clerk continued to point out the amount paid on employees and that it should be looked at and volunteers should be used. The clerk also told us that we need to advertise more to get more people to come to these events. In our research of other establishments, it is the bar that advertises these events, which again are in place to bring people to the bar, not money makers for gambling. I reached out to other gambling operations and found in all of them I spoke with that they are at max rent. However, none of them have paid employees. It is up to the bar to plan the events using their own employees or they find the volunteers. This was brought to the clerk and mayor as an option and was immediately shot down by the clerk. It was then suggested for the city to create an events bucket, which would not affect the P&L for the bar, and the employees would be city employees that could run events for the bar. That was also shot down by the clerk. There was no meat in the middle. It was just finger pointing at us to figure it out with no help from the city. We had requested from the bar and city, we have requests from the bar in the city asking to bring in $5 pull tab boxes. I researched and brought it to the members and they voted no due to the history of those going under quickly and other local establishments stopping them due to this as well. We were asked to bring in e-bingo. I researched, members voted no as it is not a money maker and puts more on the gambling manager. We were asked about more e-tab tablets. The members voted yes and yes to purchasing a new stand to hold all six. We were asked to shorten the bingo time, which we did by adjusting games and went down to selling packets only for games 1 through 11. We were asked to not use the high top tables for these weekly events anymore, so we moved over to just the pool table and the bingo cart. In order to reduce employee time, we no longer have employees walking around selling tickets or extra bingo sheets. Customers must come to them at the pool table. On April 24th, the clerk had a post put out on Facebook about a special council meeting taking place on April 29th. And the discussion on gambling lease with the Hickory Lakes Firefighters Relief Association was on the agenda. We were not notified of this special meeting. It was told by the mayor that they needed to call a special meeting to approve the Reamer Volunteer Firemen's Relief Association request to conduct off-site gambling at Eagle Golf Course. He said he felt they needed something else on the agenda to help justify the special meeting as they get paid for it. At this meeting, he said he wanted to use that time to get the other council members up to speed on our discussions. Nothing was voted on nor resolved and just made for more tension. After this meeting, the 50 Lakes Firefighters Relief Association called for a special meeting to get our members up to date on the recent activities and where things are at. City Council Member Tony Buchheit showed up and expressed her disappointment for not being informed of this meeting. She was reminded she is the liaison for the fire department, not the Relief Association. Notices were posted on the door of the fire department and community center. As all of this continued, it was affecting me doing some of the responsibilities of gambling manager. Our gambling employees who are not city employees were hearing rumors that they were going to be forced to be volunteers by us. That was not true. It was the city that wanted that. The stress was very overwhelming and started to affect my family and my full-time job. I cannot stay doing something that is unhealthy for me and my family. I was ready to resign, as none of this was worth the strain it was putting on me. I came to the members to discuss options. This is very emotional. We went around the room. No one wanted to take this on. With the history of the tension between the city and the fire department, everyone said no. After conversations with some members, I decided to give a few options I was comfortable with. I would train if someone would change their mind and wanted to take this on. Or I would stay on if it was only pull tabs and e-tabs. No meat raffles, bingo, or races, except for special occasions. At our last meeting, there was an anonymous vote, and it was chosen to eliminate the weekly events that were not money makers and continue with pull tabs and e-tabs, which are the money makers, so we can continue to contribute donations to our city and community. With this choice, the bar would continue to get rent as they have. There is no rent paid on weekly events that our employees were running. For those of you that were judging me and our Relief Association without all the facts, I hope now you have a better understanding of what was going on. With that said, I want to point out, gambling expenses, donations, employee payroll, etc., all come from gambling funds. Gambling funds do not come from citizens' taxes, and therefore do not need to be under scrutiny. The Minnesota Gambling Control Board oversees all charitable gambling associations and monitors all gambling funds. Gambling funds come from people who gamble at the bar. This includes citizens of 50 Lakes, neighboring cities, along with visitors, family, and friends that choose to gamble at our licensed site. Why are people so upset and asking questions of what our gambling employees are paid when none of it comes from the city? I would ask these citizens to look into the city employees being paid from our taxes. I hope someone requests a 4 or 5 year review of the city's payroll expenses detailed by employee and donations received and donations given. 50 Lakes population is around 500, and I think some of you will be shocked to see the results from a small city.
Thank you.
Anybody else care to say anything? Okay, we'll move on. Let's see, we've got the consent agenda. We need a motion to approve.
I have a question on that. Page 13, Sammy Dunbar, 21 Beaver. Was he asked to trap other than on North or on Hugo Lake Road?
That I'm unsure of.
Chester, how do we attribute 21 Beaver to for this payment?
That was North Gate and North Eagle.
Why was North Eagle wasn't an issue?
They're digging under the road there too. And there's no riprap around there to keep them out.
This was never brought to my attention. Why was it?
There's a couple holes like this just a couple years ago.
You never brought old holes were plugged. I'm just disappointed that was paid. On that note, I make a motion to pass the consent agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, that brings us to...
I'm sorry, Gary, my apologies. I have another thing on page 20. Are we still paying for Broadhead and Woodsman? What is that?
Yep.
Are we still paying for them? Sorry, I meant to bring this up earlier.
Yep. I'm unemployed. No.
We were clear with that.
No.
No.
I'll fill it. Yeah. You'll have to come in and I'll fill you in.
Jesse?
Sorry, I got to change my fire rescue minutes. I submitted them a little early because we went on vacation. I have 3 fire calls and 2 medical calls, but the actual correction is 4 fire calls and 2 medical calls.
Oh, cool. Talk about that in a little bit. All right, so then that brings us to, to new business. And that would be Mr. Fiedler.
Okay. I got a little larger crowd than I was expecting, but
Certainly to sit here.
Should have brought, maybe brought more donuts. I'm going to try to be brief, especially with everybody here. I don't want to waste your time. My name's Brian Fiddler. I own a property second to the end on Deer Lane. The reason I'm here is because over the years, the road has become obstructed to the point where it is impassable in the winter, and it is not very passable in the summer. I'm not sure if people don't know where Deer Lane is. It is just kitty corner from here, straight across from the campground. You go up Kegel Road, take a right on Deer Lane, it's a gravel road. What I'm here to talk about is safety and access of it. So Deer Lane, it's a gravel road, it's about a mile long. I think it's been maintained since the early 2000s, something like that. There's about 20 residences that use it, Fun Circle and Palmer Trail. The majority of the time, it's safely used all year round by everybody. I've been coming up here since 98. I bought my property in 98. My neighbor next to me, he is at the end of the dead end. I'm the second to the end. So he is an interested party in this as well. He knows I'm here, he knows what I'm talking about, and he knows I'm using his name. He's been coming up here since 1993. So the problem isn't maintenance. The problem is obstructions. This is the GIS of Deer Lane. This blue dotted line that I drew in here, this is a wetland area. So that is off limits to travel. This is the platted boundary of the road. All of this stuff has been put here blocking my and Jeff's access to our property down to a 15-foot culvert right here. There's no other way to get in there. Coming across 15 feet, on one side is a hole, on the other side is this one. And unfortunately, I'm old, so I have to put my glasses on to see what's going on over here. So I'll play the swap game. So anyway, that's just showing you what's going on there. The road is 55 feet wide, about, between the edge of the right-of-way and the wetland, and 40 of it is blocked. That little green line, that's the only thing left. The rest of it is not passable by a vehicle. The location of the road, not in question. The plat shows where the road is. The GIS shows where the road is. The original survey markers are there in many locations. The ones at my property are still visible. So there's no question where the road is. I've asked about the maintenance on the road and what classification is. It's a standard maintenance road, prescriptively ending, I guess, whatever that means. And there are no city resolutions stating that the road changes from one standard to another anywhere along its length. So the obstructions, I will go into them a little more detail. Going to try to be quick. There's a culvert going here. And there's a culvert going here. And where they come together, there's a hole. The hole is not passable by a vehicle. If you drop a wheel in there, you are stuck and probably damaged. There's an asphalt driveway that's been raised a little bit from everything around it. It's coming out 30 feet into the road. The other side of the road is a wetland. That leaves 15 feet for me and the other property owner to get to our property. And the distance between the obstruction and our driveway is 100 feet. This is the ground view of it. This is standing at the end of where the road ends by the obstructions. The two pink lines, that's what I have. The white stakes you see there below those pink lines, those are culvert ends. It's about a 12-inch culvert. If you go off to the left, you are in a swamp. If you go off to the right, you are in a hole. It's muddy most of the time. I don't really care about that. I care about the fact that the road doesn't exist. That's the problem. I can live with mud. I can't live with not having a road. Snow removal is impossible. This is just a closer picture of the hole. That's my UTV tire there on the left. It's a 27-inch tire. It's just showing you how deep that hole is. It continues about 10 feet into the yard. That tire is actually sitting right here. And then there's riprap and other things, obstacles surrounding the hole up to the other culvert. And then there's all kinds of river rock and trees and you name it, everything. And it's all in the road. None of this is on private property.
That's what I was going to ask. Is this no. private or city-owned?
This is a city-owned road.
Okay, thank you.
That was the plat that I showed you, but I'm trying to be quick. I apologize. Everything below that red line is in the road right-of-way. Deer Lane, city-maintained road. That's my car sitting in the middle of the road. Not at the edge of the road, it's in the middle of the road. I'm supposed to be able to drive in my driveway right here at this pink line from where it is right now. There's a culvert here, there's a culvert here, and there's a culvert here. The only thing that I have to get to my property and Jeff Kennedy are these two tracks. All of that stuff is in the road. None of it is on private property. So, this is standing on the north side looking at the road. Again, everything in this picture is in the road. None of it is private property. 40 feet of the 55 feet there is for a road has been blocked. This is standing in the neighbor's yard, looking toward my access. That's my car that you can't see behind all that stuff that's in the way. Everything to the left of that red line is in the road. My car is in my driveway, and you should be able to see my car clearly because there is nothing in between where I'm standing and my car that is private property. This is the slide looking from the other way. This is supposed to be the end of my driveway. I'm supposed to be looking at the road. Everything to the right is the road. Everything to the right of that red line is the road. The reflector and the tube, that's the original stake in the corner from the original survey. It's buried under fill now somewhat, but I dug it up last night. It's still there. It's never been moved. So I wish my driveway was right there where that wood pile is. Then I wouldn't have to drive down into the mud. I could just drive out onto the road. again, that's my car in my driveway. My car is on my private property. But what I'm pointing out is, I wish my driveway was in between the lines and not to the south, because it drops off very abruptly right there. All these obstacles are forcing me to drive next to a very steep and tall drop-off. It's right there. That's standing in the neighbor's driveway looking at my driveway. I've never dropped a wheel off this, but my guests have. You can almost see it here. You might be able to tell. When I built my house, a cement truck dropped a wheel off right here, and I thought he was going to roll over onto the electrical panel. I was very nervous. He was apparently experienced. He wasn't as nervous as I was. So, again, it's not a maintenance issue. The road is maintained just fine. It's better than the road I had at home. Until you get to that spot, the road ceases to exist. That's the problem. Not maintenance, the obstructions. That's the problem. It is a safety hazard. There's no question where the edge of the road is. None of the parties involved are arguing a foot this way or that way or where is it. It's just, hey, you obstructed the road. Residents can't get there. My guests can't get there. Utilities, propane guy says I'm not going to get delivered. If he can't get close enough to my tank, I'm not sure if you guys noticed, but in the aerial picture I showed, my propane tank is halfway in the road. He advised me to put it there, because if I put it on my property, he would never be able to get to it, because he can't even get to my property. He can't get within 100 feet of my property, and his hose is only 50 feet long. So there is that. But I have garbage, delivery trucks, fire trucks, emergency vehicles. They are all forced to go across that two tracks, 15 feet wide. The winter is a very serious problem. There's nowhere to put snow. On the south side, it's a wetland. That's illegal to put snow. It's also impossible, because the brush is 10 feet tall and it comes right up to the road. You will see that in another picture. There's no way to put snow on the south side. I can't put snow on the north side because there's a tree every 10 feet. There's no way to maneuver a vehicle in there. Chester, you and Gary were out there and I asked you guys, can you safely get a vehicle in there to plow? And you pretty much said no way. You can't get past that obstruction. So if the city can't plow in there, I surely can't plow in there. There's just no room big enough for a vehicle. By hand, with a snowblower, 100 feet through the woods. I've done it. I don't like it. Many people have been struck. Stop.
I'm listening to what you're saying, and I'm wondering, why are all those obstructions there?
It's a great question. I wish I could answer.
Well, why don't you just remove them? Or the city remove them?
I have removed them. I have cut some of the stuff down. I've taken other things out.
Yeah.
And more just gets put there.
Well, how does it get put there?
My neighbor.
Well, then why don't you tell him he's encroaching on a public road?
I have.
Well, then you'll
have. I get pushback. That's why I'm here.
Oh.
Fortunately, the last time we talked, he actually agreed that I should come here, and we are going to try to resolve this. So, it's new to you people. It is not between us. We've talked about it many, many times over the years. And I'm here with a bit of a heavy heart. I like the guy. He's one of my best friends. He's a very generous guy. But when it comes to his yard, different person. I don't understand it. But good question.
Mark, would this be something the city would look into? Go out and put some lead in the ground? And
I can leave that up to Tom.
Okay.
But that cul-de-sac was built back in 1993, and that's what we've maintained, and that's what we are moving forward maintaining. We've had the discussion with Tom, and I'll let him answer that.
Mr. Fiddler, you said the neighbor that's your best friend that is, you say, has put these obstructions in that platted cul-de-sac, not the mini cul-de-sac, but the platted cul-de-sac.
Yes.
Is willing to have discussions about this with the city?
Yeah. Okay. He told me to come here. Okay. We've had numerous discussions, and like I said, he's a great guy. I really like him. Something about the yard.
Okay.
Just has to have it, and I don't know. I've cut things out. I've removed them, and he plants more.
It seems like a way forward maybe to have a discussion with the neighbor about this. What we've talked about here and what you've seen from me is a discussion about that the road itself and the mini cul-de-sac, right? Just because it was platted and dedicated to the public, there's two parts of that, right? The road then remains unmaintained by the city. It's not built to the city's road spec, and the cul-de-sac, the same thing. So the cul-de-sac became a mini cul-de-sac out of necessity to be able to turn around down there after moving snow. Just because it's platted and dedicated to the public doesn't mean it's accepted by the city, that whole entirety of that road or the cul-de-sac.
So if it's not accepted, can you explain to me what that means about why it stops right there?
Well, as I understand it, historically, the city created that turnaround, that mini cul-de-sac, in order to be able to get itself turned around after moving snow down the length of the road. And in that way, it's prescriptive. The city hasn't accepted the maintenance of this road, nor that cul-de-sac. What it's doing is what it can do based on the fact that the road is what it is and it isn't up to a city's spec. But having heard what you said tonight, including that the neighbor's willing to discuss the problem of some of these obstructions in this platted cul-de-sac beyond the mini cul-de-sac, it strikes me that maybe there's a conversation to be had with the neighbor.
Sure. My understanding is, I guess I have a question. Why does it stop right there? Why that spot?
I don't know. I don't maintain the road. I can only assume because that's as far as anybody could go to the end of that road with the platted cul-de-sac being unbuildable, as everybody knows that it is. So my guess is that that just became the course of maintenance over these last 30 years to get down there in order to turn around where city trucks could.
Yeah, well, that's a guess. Unfortunately, it's a guess.
Well, it's
that spot is exactly where he put the culvert and the trees. You can't put an obstruction in the road and then use that as an excuse to stop maintaining it. That's what happened.
I don't know that the city has any proof or records in its files or any of that.
That's right. There is no permit for the culvert. There is no inspection of where the culvert is. In fact, it's right in the middle of the road. So it's all illegal. Why is it there? And why does this prescriptive maintenance stop? Just so happens to stop right where that is.
I don't drive.
That's interesting.
I don't drive the city truck. I think you're.
Well, then my question is,
could I finish speaking? Then I think you're theorizing a little bit beyond maybe what's happened here. But having said that, I don't know that there needs to be a continued discussion here tonight. Not that it's up to me not to talk.
Sure.
Because if you said that the neighbor is willing to discuss with the city how the problem that you're talking about could be rectified amicably, then let's have that discussion.
Sounds good. That's what I want. I don't want it to escalate. I do. It's a little hard for me because it's been a struggle. So I apologize. The question was, why now? I built a house here. I'm a resident. I live here. I work here. I need to be able to get in and out in the winter. My neighbors agreed to talk about it. The problem just gets worse with time. The trees get bigger. Sooner or later, there's going to be a snowstorm, and I'm going to have to be able to get out, or the neighbor is, or someone's going to have to be able to get in. The other reason about why now, now you guys are aware of the problem. So, consideration, I appreciate that. That's awesome. I don't think a solution is that hard. I really don't. All we got to do is follow the law. Even if it's a minimum maintenance road, you can't have obstructions in it. They simply cannot be there. Unless you've got a way that they can. Remove the obstructions, put something over the hole where the culvert is. These grills, I've seen them in gravel roads many times. Look pretty cheap, should be easy. Not a problem. I don't think the solution is that hard. It's a little tricky because of the elevation and everything back there and the wetland. It surely is, I get that. So I guess my first question is, have I illustrated that a public right-of-way is being blocked by a citizen?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm seeing your presentation here for the first time. Where I've been involved in this conversation is in a series of reviewing some emails. Okay.
So okay.
I'm seeing this for the first time.
Can I get an answer to this question within a week, or?
I don't know.
It just seems like it's dragging out. I mean, this is going on a couple of months now.
Well, again.
And I've gotten one response so far.
Well, we have had some dialogue back and forth, I think, here. But you
okay.
You're here tonight to present this. I think everybody's seen
okay.
it. And I don't want to speak for the council, but I heard you say that the neighbor, who is your best friend, but who seems not to be...
Didn't say best friend, but he's a very good friend.
Well,
or maybe I did say
quote-unquote best friend.
He's a very good friend.
It doesn't matter. I'm not holding you to that. I'm simply
okay.
saying
right.
it appears
he is a good guy.
The friendship ends
yeah.
at this discussion.
Yeah, there's some friction at this point.
But I heard a nugget in there that he might be willing to talk about this with the city. So
absolutely.
I think the move would be to invite him to a discussion, maybe with the mayor and the clerk and I, to discuss this to see what we could resolve here.
Perfect.
Timetable that we can guarantee, but I think that we'll ask.
Okay, that's all I can ask for. Is there anything I can do? I think you just mentioned. Anything else? I mean, I would like to keep it moving so it doesn't stall. I don't want to go through another winter like this.
Maybe the thing to do here is to call for a motion from the council to instruct the mayor and the clerk and myself to invite the neighbor for a discussion about the situation.
Okay. Well, I'd like a motion to invite myself, Tom, and Ann to have a discussion with your neighbor. I'm not sure what his name is.
Dan Swanson.
Dan Swanson in the near future as soon as we can.
So moved.
I got a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
If I may, the only thing I have left here is pictures of it happening. As you can see, this is what it is today. That was 2013. Not much stuff in the way. And if you go, keep going back. 2022. This is 2021 when I built my house. More stuff. Go back to 2000 and I believe that's 2010. There's a lot less stuff. Go back to 2015, or that must have been 2018, it's 2015. There's even less stuff there. This is 2013. The only thing that's really in the way right there is the culvert. And again, the culvert, either he got really lucky or that culvert is where the person had to turn around because it was obstructed. This, unfortunately, is a bad picture. I'm wondering if you guys have better ones, but this is from 2009. There's no asphalt, there's no trees, none of it's there. This is from 2003, and the only thing that's there at this point is the culvert. There is a boatload of room there to do whatever. I used to drive on the other side of where that culvert is once in a while when there was water on the other side. So this hasn't been there all the time. It got there. But it got there slowly but surely over time. And that's about the only thing that I have in that. That right there is the main problem. The trees, again, you can't plow snow to this side because it's a wetland. All those trees prevent putting snow there. Where am I supposed to put snow? Where is anybody supposed to put snow? In the winter, I'm landlocked.
I think your points are understood.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you, Brian.
I appreciate being short. I was, or apologize, I was trying to be fast, but I probably wasn't.
Sorry.
You wasted about 20 minutes?
No. Can I have that question?
Sorry. Okay, yeah. Thank you guys for your time and your consideration.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Ann.
Okay, now we're going to move on, and I move the gambling lease discussion up to new business this evening, so we are then going to discuss that. And I think this would be the time that we want to say something. So, well, I'd like to recap the gambling and all this has been going on. As Lori stated, we've been at odds for quite some time, and it has become quite toxic. And we have certain needs from the Gambling Association that we need, like a meat raffle, and they've pulled it away from us. And that has just really become hard because this business really depends on that sort of thing. And so do our employees. I see Dakota sitting here, and I think you've probably already noticed possibly a drop in sales here because we don't have the people to be drawn in anymore.
Mondays and Wednesdays look a lot different now.
But with all of this, I feel that I have no choice. We have reached out to other entities that would be willing to do all of it for us. And with that, I would like a motion. At this point, I'd like to give our gambling association our 30-day notice that we'd like you guys to go away. And with that, I'd like a motion of somebody to make that motion.
And make a motion to give it 30 days to the gambling association.
Wait a minute. Can you open it to discussion?
Yeah, you need a second, correct, before?
If there's a motion to be made, the formal motion to be made would be to terminate the lease for lawful gambling between 50 Lakes Fire Relief Association and the City of 50 Lakes, which is dated April 7th, 2022. That lease has a two-way lease termination clause that allows the lease to be terminated by either party with a written 30-day notice. So I would ask that the motion that was made, if you would rescind that, and instead you can just say so moved to what I just said, that would cover more formally what I think is being discussed here.
I make a motion to terminate the lease made on April 7, 2022.
Okay, do I have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Against?
Abstain.
So that we've given our gambling association a 30-day notice, and that'll be the end of that. So thank you very much.
So I think what will happen here,
all pursuant
to the terms of the lease, is with that motion having been made, then you should instruct your clerk to draft a written termination for the mayor to sign.
Yes, and at this time I'd like the clerk to make a written termination notice of this, and I will come in tomorrow and sign it. It's not open discussion right at this point. That'll be in a little while. Thank you. Okay, staff reports.
Thank you, Ed.
And what do we got going? Sorry, what? I'm a little lost on this one.
Planning and zoning?
Oh, this is a whole
committee report.
No, staff report. Oh, all right, yep. So, yeah, we're in the process of buying the property across, and we're in the old golf course. And we're getting moving forward on that. We're also getting the title to the park. We're getting that under control. And really, I think that's about all I have on planning and zoning at this time. And with that, I'll move to parks with Tony.
May I say something?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I apologize. When we were putting together the agenda, I put insurance coverage for the park under fire and rescue and grand opening of the park under fire and rescue. That should be under park.
Oh, all right. We'll speak on that now then.
So the insurance coverage for the park is on page 43.
43, yep.
Yep.
Has a date been decided on the grand opening? Has the date been agreed upon?
For the grand opening? No, that's what I'd like to discuss with you.
Okay.
But our insurance agent, I'm going through renewals right now, and as you see in the email, he would just like to know the need for replacement costs for the two pickleball courts, the wood fence around the playground, and the whole map of everything we've done, including the splash pads and the splash pad and all the equipment. So I don't know. I just wanted to bring it to council as information. If you want me to work with someone on council to establish this, or if you want me to go off the actual installation cost on everything, I just need some guidance here.
Was there any anticipated additional cost?
There will be, yes.
We'll need to.
Yep.
I just want
to know exactly what level of insurance you want with this. Do you want it for the exact cost it was to put in? If that's the case, then that's easy. I'll send it to him.
Yeah, and I've been thinking about this. I'm not sure exactly how much we'd want to insure it for. I guess, yeah, we need to look into that.
Okay.
Sorry.
And then as far as the grand opening, the rep for the splash pad would like to come up once we pick a grand opening date. Yeah, and provide some free goods and cookies and stuff. So I just thought that should be a council discussion so you're all aware of it and can participate.
Should
Should we pick a date? I mean, are we looking at, I mean, it's open and it's running and...
Can I ask a question about the parks, please?
I'm sorry?
May I ask a question about the parks?
Yeah, go ahead.
The law states, and it's a governed law, that when a city puts in a new park, that they must have so many disabled equipment per non-abled. And the chips, the wood chips that we have over there, are not up to law either for disabled children. And they need to be wheelchair accessible. Yes, we have a pad there, but the wood chips that you have in there are not a legal wood chip to go on there. They have every wheelchair, scooter, or device that a wheeled person uses, that needs to be done. And that being said, you're putting in swing sets pretty soon that was discussed on one of your things, and I'm wondering if the council could consider an adult to a disabled child wheelchair, a swing at that time also.
I would take that under recommendation, yes.
And then the other swing is they also have a child swing that a mother can sit on one side and the child can sit in their swing, and that would be a good idea for the swing set also.
Okay, yes, we will absolutely take that under advice.
But have you worked with the ADA disabled community on this project?
Yes. Well, we have the bathroom is handicap accessible. We've got the handicap accessible.
I mean, have you worked with the group?
I haven't personally.
Okay.
We actually worked with the DNR, and they gave us all the guidelines for ADA.
Okay. But normally you just have regular wood chips and that in there, and that has to change. That's not a choice. That has to change. It either has to be the rubber or it has to be an ADA approved wood chip.
Okay.
So I appreciate that. Thank you.
So back to a grand opening. Do you want it during the week, a weekend?
Probably a weekend.
I'm thinking a weekend too.
Or Friday afternoon or.
So let's get through 50 Lakes Day, right? And then.
Yeah.
I mean, do you want to sneak it in before the 4th of July?
Oh gosh, let's not push it too much. It was going to be busy between those two. Let's do it after, if you could.
So you have July 10, 17,
24, 31. I'm open, you guys.
I guess I'm open too.
So let's just do it the 10th and start planning. Would you like a ribbon cutting and all that?
Absolutely.
I think that would be pretty cool.
What time?
Afternoon. I don't know. 2 o'clock?
2 o'clock.
It's just kind
of... 1-2 o'clock, and then if we have snacks for kids and stuff, you know, like that.
Okay. Do you think 2 is too early? For a weekend or anything?
Warm early on, too, if we maybe noonish or something, 11.
I'm just thinking of weekend people. Up to you. I mean, no matter when we plan it, it's not going to work for everybody. So.
Right. Well, then if we want weekend people, we could have just all had it on Saturday. No, it doesn't make any difference to me.
Well, let's work on this. Come back to it. I mean, I don't think we got to decide right now.
Well, your next council meeting is after.
Oh, yeah.
We just go with the 10th and run with it.
We'll run with the time. Okay, thank you.
All right.
Then you're going to want to give Jesse the opportunity, fire and rescue now?
Oh, yeah. Jesse, I think you've got something to say.
I still find an update on that. We had 4 fire calls, and we had 2 medical calls in the month of May. And then we applied for a drinking water grant, and we got the grant for Anheuser-Busch. So we got a pallet of drinking water awarded to us, 2,532 cans. So they're good. I don't know exactly how it's going to work out. They said they're going to go to a distributor, and then we're responsible from the distributor to the hall. I don't know if you guys call them to the distributor or what happens there, but I haven't heard word yet.
What does a distributor have?
They just said distributor.
It'd be a beer delivery.
Oh, all right, but wait.
No, Ricky's trying to check over there.
That's what I was thinking too, but.
That would be C&L, I believe, isn't that like Nick Golden Light? Yeah.
So hopefully they bring it here. We don't have to go anywhere else to get it. I haven't heard when yet, but.
Very nice.
All right, well, thank you, Jess.
Jess, I got one question. Jess, looking at the past fires, can you comment on that, what things you've learned or?
Like the Flanders fire?
Yes.
Were
you guys called into that?
We were not called to that. We had another fire to go to during it. And then we were all ready to go Sunday morning to relieve some of the firefighters. And we had so much help throughout the entire state that a lot of these home crews could stay at home and protect their communities while the rest of the state was fighting that fire as well as the DNR. So it was nice that we could, because the conditions hadn't changed on Sunday compared to Saturday. And it's hard for us to leave. We only have one engine, one tender. So if we take that out of service and go to help there, then if something happens here,
yeah.
So as much as we really, really wanted to send all of our stuff down there and help, we had our community in mind as well.
Yeah, you got to cover your home.
But the radio traffic and the communication, everyone in the county, they communicated wonderfully to get that thing under control. All the support from the community was just been absolutely over the hills. That's really good to see.
Thank you.
Matt.
Thank you, Justin. All right, then we go to road construction. Mark, Amos, Mark, do you have anything there?
No, that's a Chester. Yeah, right now.
Okay, then we'll move on to the liquor store. Randy.
We got numbers to take a look at your leisure, but if you look at 2005 year to date compared to 2026, which is through May, we show some red numbers still, but we're still looking at compared to last year's numbers. It was quite a bit of money with regard to that. So we are making progress. Like I said, May of this year, which we just closed on, we had a profit of about $7,600, which goes into the coffer, which is excellent. The bartenders and Javier have been working very hard on this, and hopefully we see that in the fruition. So that's about all I have, Mr. Mayor.
All right, well, thank you. Management positions, we've always got on there to just talk about that. I don't know if there's anything to speak to on that. I think everything's doing pretty well and stuff.
I just need to hear that from council or anybody. That.
I think things are running
okay.
Very nicely.
Things are running really nicely.
All right.
Especially going into summer. With the numbers inflating, everyone's doing really well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have a new hire to approve. His name is Orhan. I'm not going to attempt his last name. We need approval to hire Orhan as a part-time cook. And I'll need a motion.
I'll make a motion when we hire Orhan as a part-time cook.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. You wouldn't care to take a shot at his last name?
Nope. I'll ask him first.
I was going. All right. Okay, then we also need to have approval to close the ATM checking account. Last month we decided to get have Hazelwood supply us with an ATM machine, and that way it would just make our lives a little easier. So I need a motion and a second on that.
Make a motion to close the ATM checking.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, then we, I believe we have a piece of, or a few pieces of furniture we'd like to purchase for the patio. I think they're much like what they are exactly, or much like what we've got there, and I don't know if there's any more information on that.
There isn't. Those that we have out there were purchased from Ace Hardware a few years ago, and their inventory is really limited. And I looked it up, it was about $3,000 for a table and four chairs. If you want to go with the same that they have, I'll have to find it elsewhere. Or I will go talk to them. I couldn't find anybody today in management when I was there. But I'll go talk to them and see if they're interested in ordering for us, or if they're going to continue to order the furniture.
In my opinion, just what we have out there, I mean, anybody that sits out there, you guys don't look at it, you know, the earlier chairs and stuff, they're flimsier and they don't stand up. That pressed, what do they call that, composite wood stuff? I mean, I come in, I clean it every morning when I work, and then I do the patio off, and it's so nice. I just hose everything off, and I come by and wipe it, and it's just good to go. And it's solid, and it's just, yeah, it'll last for years. Yes. Otherwise, we're going to keep replacing it.
Well, this area that we want to put it in is between the two pillars, between the two doors. There's nothing there right now.
Are you looking for approval to
That's up to you guys. It's a big expense.
Number that you can't really lay a number on this, or
you just, I mean, I would hate to spend over $3,000. I think that's, when I was down there looking at what they have today, it's not quite the same. It's close, but it was $2,600. So, and it, or if you want me to circle back next month, I will, with pictures and quotes.
Oh, it'd be nice to have it. Well, the sooner the better. But yeah, I know. Summer's here. And 50 Lakes Day is coming. 4th of July is coming.
Could we give you a number to stay with them? Which you got a.
I'd say 3,000 or under.
Okay. Anybody care to make that motion?
Make a motion. We purchase for the patio a table and chair set under $3,000.
Second
that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Then we get to the mayor's report, and we have the insurance policies we need to renew. We've got the LMC liability waiver form here that we need. I need a motion and a second on to.
That you do not waive the monetary limits on municipal tort liability.
Oh, yeah. Page 50.
I do need a motion for that.
Anybody care to make a motion?
I'll make a motion that City of 50 Lakes does not waive the monetary limits on municipal tort liability established by Minnesota Statute 466.04 for their liability coverage.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, now we have Illinois Mutual Insurance Renewal, and we'll need a motion for that.
Oh, how much has that gone up since last year?
It hasn't.
This is Dram Shop, right?
Yes.
I can remember when it was 10 and 12,000 dollars.
Way back when.
Mm-hmm. Make a motion to accept the Illinois Casualty Company bid for $2,736.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, then the announcement is 50 Lakes Post Office. They're no longer going to, they're canceling our services for the.
Is that what this Dan Severson? Severin?
Yes.
Dan Severson?
Yes.
So that's just an announcement that they're going to be cutting off services. I don't know if we're going to continue. Are we going to be able to sell stamps or anything?
I would like to. Dan from Don, or Chris Don at Cross Lake Post Office said the only thing that's going to change is they'll take the VPO sign off the building and the post office boxes will stay and we can still sell stamps if we want to. So if council would like that, we would like to because we do have residents who come.
I think that would be a very nice thing we could do for our residents.
Yeah. I do think I would like a motion accepting the letter of cancellation from the...
I'll make a motion to accept the letter of cancellation from the post office. I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Then I think you had two additions.
Okay, the two additions. 50 Lake State update. Anyone care to update us on the 50 Lake State?
I think things are rolling along pretty smoothly. We've made some changes. We're going to put the band up against the building this year and move the have one outside bar and have it centrally located. We're plenty staffed, I think. A lot of vendors. I don't know what account Jessica has. She'll get that mapped out. Just hoping for good weather.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you. And then the other announcements is the offices will be closed on the 19th, I believe, of June for Juneteenth Day. With that open forum, I guess. Anybody care to speak?
My name is Deb Shepka. For those of you who don't know who I am a 50 Lakes fireman's wife. I live here in 50 Lakes. I just want to ask a couple questions about this relief association thing. I don't know a lot about it. I'll be upfront with all of you. I do know that the relief association historically has donated a lot of money to the city to offset a lot of costs, whether it's for maintenance, fire department, whatever the case may be, what things that the city needs. I would like to know if the city has taken that into consideration by terminating this lease and where they expect to get those funds from if those donations stop. Are these other places that you've looked into willing to donate as much to the city of 50 Lakes? And if they are, have they given you a dollar amount and a time frame for those things? Like how long will they donate back to the city of 50 Lakes? I'm asking because I just would like to know, because if it doesn't come from the Relief Association, it's gotta come from somewhere. So it's going to come from the taxpayer. Am I wrong? At some point, these things don't go away. Maintenance doesn't go away. City vehicles that need work don't go away. I mean, those things are still out there. So if that money isn't coming from the Relief Association not directly toward that. I know that the city gets to decide where that money goes when it comes in. But a lot of times it is for that, right? Am I wrong in that? Am I wrong in saying that?
No.
Okay. I would like to know if the city has considered that, if the council has considered that, and where that money is going to come from if it doesn't come from the Relief Association.
Yes, we have taken everything into consideration here. And things have gotten to a point where it's just not working. And that's all I really want to say about that, because I don't...
So you don't know where it's going to come from if it goes away? It'll come to the taxpayer. It'll be fall on the rest of us, right?
No.
No.
Where's it going to come from?
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the donations that the Relief Association gives back to the city on an annual basis. Right. I don't know what those dollars are. I'm just asking, if it doesn't come from the Relief Association, where is it going to come from?
You got that switched around. The money that's generated goes to the association.
No, it does not.
No.
No, it does not. You have that wrong.
I explained all
okay,
that.
I have it up there.
And that's why I'm asking.
Less
because I
one
think
person
that there's confusion.
Please.
It's the only reason I'm asking that. I do believe that there's confusion and it's not clear where the money is coming from and going to on a regular basis. And so that's why I'm asking.
Right there is how they've given us our contributions over the years, and it's
so
gone down a lot.
4 years. That's what they put together for us, and it's the last 4 years of their contribution.
Which is significant.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's why I'm asking that question.
A big part of it is for a fire truck payment, which absolutely belongs to the city.
Correct.
They are kind enough to donate those payments to the city.
So but if that money goes away from the Relief Association, where does that money come from? It's got to come from somewhere. The city is still responsible for making those payments.
Right.
And all that. So I would like to know, if it doesn't come from the Relief Association, is there a plan in place to make up the difference?
There is one payment left in July.
I'm not talking about just the fire truck. I'm talking overall.
Okay.
Because it's not just the fire truck, right? Is it not also for city maintenance vehicles on occasion? Never.
So city maintenance has their own budget.
Okay, but so there's been no money that the association has donated to the city.
Not since I've been
that has
in
offset
the court role,
anything.
Okay. But I would absolutely love to get you more information on that. But the fire department has their own budget that we work with them to prepare. That budget has
been
pretty
short sighted, because if you look at what we've donated over the last history of the association, $1.4 million, really?
To the city?
Yes.
To the city?
No.
To
that is overall contribution.
No, it's not.
No.
Tom,
I don't have an answer to that. I'm just asking a question.
Mr. Mayor, with your permission, I would like to put, pass this out. It's just a simple flyer. I didn't have time to get it up here in the book. But this talks about all of the major contributions since 1985.
Major contributions to the city or to other entities?
Everything.
Okay, thank you. That's what I wanted clarified.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Mr. Schulberg.
Thank you.
In fact, I want to thank Dick for helping me put some of this stuff together. You guys want to just take one and pass it around?
Sure. But just please note that this only goes to 2021, correct?
Right. We don't have,
and this this is after years after that.
Yeah, so this is prior to? This is prior to what's on the
right,
screen.
Right,
is what you're saying.
Yes. And I want to point out to everybody, 2025 is blow up on that screen, because that was us trying to clean things up and why we kept coming to the city to ask for a rent reduction so that we had more money to donate out. That's why that was so broken.
So from November 1985 to June of 2021 is a lot of this information that I have gotten from Dick Schiller, who ran all the gambling operations for that 35 years. And it was his records that, were helping us. We switched over to a computer system in 2021-2022 called CD Made Easy. And all of our stuff now is done on the computer. But just the one that kind of surprised me was just from that time frame, from 85 to 2021, we donated almost $125,000 to just scholarships in our community. I thought that was a huge number. The one that we had, they're coded, and it's called an A10 code, but this is for government entities, including school youth activities, but the majority of it was the city of 50 Lakes, but that was $854,000. So all of the things that I put on that piece of paper, I didn't want to put numbers on there, I didn't want to cloud it with just a crap load of data, which is easy to do. But everything that's on that list is stuff that we contributed either directly or indirectly to. So I think Deb's question is...
I just think it's an important question to have. Where's it going to come from if it doesn't come from the Relief Association? I can't imagine if you go to Emily Fire or any other of these associations that come in and have a gambling, like they're gambling here.
You know, these are things that are very difficult for me to speak to, but we did have an agreement with somebody and they said that they would donate back to the
city. I would love for them to put that in writing and for an extended period of time, because words are nothing. I mean, look at where we are.
Absolutely.
You know, I this is so sad to me as a member of this community and a taxpayer. I cannot believe as adults we can't all figure this out. It's a little disgusting to be quite honest, but that's beside the point. It makes me sad. I can't believe that we're here. I can't believe we're talking about all these people that are in this Fire Relief Association and on the fire department are all, let me just point out, they are all volunteer, first of all. Volunteer, meaning they don't have to do any of this. And they all are out here doing this. And I am disappointed in the way that it has, on every side. I'm not saying just city council, I'm not saying just Relief Association. I'm personally disappointed in how this has shaken out. And I'm a little disappointed in myself for not being here for earlier. And had I been maybe trying to speak on behalf of everyone, really, I mean, it's sad. I mean, I've been to the bar and I've heard bartenders tell me that if anything's gonna go, it should be meat raffle and bingo because they don't make any money. Bartenders have said that to me. And now on the same side of that, you've got bartenders saying that, no, that's where all the money's coming from. So it's hard. It's hard to, it just makes me sad. I would like for us to come to a solution for everybody's sake, because the community is the only one that's trying to hurt here. It's not,
we have
it's
tried
the community that's going to hurt, nobody else.
I'm not going to go into a back
and that's fine. I don't expect it to, but I wish that there was more on the outsides. I really do. It's disappointing. I'm going to say that's all I've got to say.
Okay, and if there's no other discussion, I'd like a motion to adjourn.
You do have some.
Can I get a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Don tried to talk.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Go ahead and say
Okay, have you officially, can you hold on? Have you officially adjourned or can you rescind? Can you rescind your adjournment and then maybe call an order so there's one person talking?
Okay, I'm going to call the meeting back to order, please. And Don, go ahead.
It was brought to my attention that on the site that you guys already have a contract with another organization. And this is before you guys even met tonight. That was illegal. Second of all, we were never given our lease. We still need our lease signed so that you guys can, that is by the gambling board. So what you guys have done is all illegal. And this is by the gambling board. And it's slated that they take over July 1st. July 1st! You have to give us 30 days. What they've guys done is illegal. I wish your warden was sitting here because what you've done is illegal.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
There is a lease for the new bingo.
It's not a signed lease.
It is signed. The second page wasn't put on there. It is signed.
It's signed. We didn't pass it.
It's not signed.
It's not signed. We didn't pass anything.
It's signed by
law. There's nothing signed.
But how can that happen before you guys even met?
It's not signed. It was a document to have in our packets. You guys need a 30-day notice. We realize that. Just for the sake of putting in a number, we did. And they would have been changed before we signed it. This is a sample document for all of us to look at and to contemplate. This was not, we didn't sign it. Nobody signed it.
I'm just wondering if all of you talk, because to me, I'm sorry. I am so sad because your scholarships are gone.
Those kids that are coming up, your scholarships are gone. This isn't just about a bar. Every single one of you talked about a bar.
This is about community, Dawn.
You're right, it's about community, but we gave back to the community. Your community that you guys just knocked us out of. And I'm sad about that, okay? You have the right to do anything you want. Go for it. But did you contact your people? You are in charge of your people.
Outside the bar.
Did you let your outside people that don't come to the bar on this? That's my question. As a mayor, did you pull your citizens?
I have gone and knocked down doors. No, I haven't done any of that.
I think it's wrong. I actually think it's wrong because you didn't notify your citizens.
There are many wrongs that have happened here, Dawn, and this is why we've come to this point. It's not just from one side or the other. It's probably from both sides, but it has become so toxic that we can't even talk. And what you have done to this business...
Gary, every time we bring it up, you just say no. You guys all defer it. You push it off for a month. We try to ask you about stuff.
I have never seen you at a meeting, Brandon.
You know what, Gary? I'm at every one over there. I've never seen you over there either.
I can't go there.
That's not true. That is a lie.
Well, you're right. After the last meeting, you told me I could go there and up until then.
Every one of you could. I haven't seen anybody there.
I'm not going to get into this argument.
I haven't seen any of you.
We have made a decision tonight, and we're going to stand by it.
And you can answer to all of it.
That's fine. I understand right here, and I always
will. Ask the people over at the bar, but you don't ask the rest of them.
I don't.
Yeah, Gary, yeah, you do.
We got accused of taking food out of it was written. We were taking food out of your bartender's money and to your community. You guys just took food and money out of your community. We can no longer donate to your food shelf, to your poor people that go to those food shelves.
This is really sad. It's so sad it's come to this, you know. And you guys are trying to protect your relief association. And I understand.
No, we're not. Because we don't get to keep that money. We get less.
It's my turn. Excuse me.
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry.
Okay. And I realize that you guys are running a business. You guys have to run your business so that you can be profitable and stuff. The city also has to be profitable. We have to take care of the bar and do that. We do need the meat raffles and the bingos. The busy time is here now, and we need it. I'm sorry, but
Tony, that's for the bar. What about your community?
It's for the bar also contributes to the community too. And I understand, Don, I understand what you do. I've come to your meetings and stuff, but
since you're still my meeting, Tony, how much money can we keep for our business? How much money can we keep?
You guys don't give me any facts or figures.
We cannot keep all of our money. We're not in for the business. All of our money goes to the community and to people. And we raise money for Don across there. $32,000 for the Iowa roof. For sick people who have balloon center so that people can save the lakes. We have to help your community. Yes, we have brought people into your bar. But how much has that bar put back into your community besides people coming to your community to purchase liquor or to purchase that? How much of that money has gone in for scholarships? How much of that money has gone in for kids to go to camp?
Isn't what this is all about? The community?
What?
That's what it is.
This is what we gave to the community. Not the bar. We gave it to the community.
I just feel like all of the gambling took place at the bar. Why would you fight the place that is like your home? That's what's so hard about all this.
Except for we were still keeping our home. We were still pulling poll tabs.
We weren't leaving.
There is other organizations that don't do meat raffle and they don't do the bingo.
And we said that we would still do meat raffle and bingo on special occasions.
I think we don't need the back and forth. Pat, did you have something?
I told my wife I'm going to the city council meeting, and she said, well, whatever you do, don't talk. But I can't help it because I'm one of the guys that rarely goes to the bar.
I'm one of the guys that lives down the road here, and I'm kind of doing my own thing and really not involved in this, and I didn't know any of this was going on. Mm-hmm. And then Sunday night I was watching the Dodgers game, and Ron Major called me up, and he's got this story about this contentious battle between the city and the, well, he said fire department, but I understand the difference between relief and fire department. And he said, yeah, there's money being stolen from the liquor store, and they don't want their gambling in there because of stealing, but that's not right at all.
No, that, that's not true.
You see things float around and you don't have to pass them. People kind of fill in the blanks with not always the right stuff. But I'm just wondering, how did you exactly get to this point? Maybe you don't want to go through it, but it seems very bizarre to me that if you're all in one community, and these people are serving as firefighters, and you're representing, well, you're representing me, the guy that doesn't know anything about it, and it seems like a rather contentious issue, and it seemed like you could take the time out and take some of the helium out of the air and everything would float down, but I don't understand, and maybe it shouldn't be that complicated. Things aren't that complicated. You should be able to tell your story going up on an elevator. That's a day. But anyway, I just wanted to say I'm disappointed that this is happening. And I'm the guy that just kind of does my own thing and down on the lake. So that's all I want to say. I was hoping that we could get together. Maybe hire a mediator to talk to the two of you. I'm not a mediator.
No, come and sit here, Pat.
No, I know. No, I understand, and I appreciate all the work you guys do and the volunteering, and I like this community. I came here. When did I come here, Dick? You were already here. I know Dick, so I've been here a long time.
Okay, yeah.
I came here, and I was a young guy, and now I'm the old guy, so figure that out. So I was just hoping you could work it out. I would suggest a mediator. Somebody in neutral.
It's too late. They already voted.
Too late.
They made the decision.
They can rescind that discussion. They can rescind that. So they help.
Well,
we hope
it is.
Yeah.
I hope
they put it out in the whole community and not just...
Well, with that being said, I'm going to ask for an adjournment.
Okay,
thank you, Pat. Anybody want to make a motion?
Yes, make a motion.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.